Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for amazing authors and brilliant books. Today we are talking with Barbara Berg about her book called Ring Shui, Move Your Rings, Change Your Life. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Oh, Bethany, it's great to be here with you and talk about the whole situation, how it even got started for me.
Yeah, so this is an interesting book. Ring Shui, I am assuming, is a takeoff of feng shui, or where you arrange elements in your room.
Absolutely. Feng Shui is to your home and your landscape around your home and even the driveway. And Ring Shui is actually the energy on your fingers and
okay.
aspects of energy on your fingers.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the impact of that. Like how does it help someone to know about this, or what does it have the potential to do?
It's amazing how it crept up on me in my own life. I had left my husband in my midlife, about 42 years old. At that time, I was wearing rings on both of my middle fingers. I was also carrying an energy of, I don't need anyone, I can do it all myself. If you'll notice, that's the fastest growing trend in the world of rings. Many, many people, women and now men, are wearing rings on their middle fingers. Well, after I left him, I found that I had even more conflict in other areas, and he started to look pretty good after all the guys I had started dating. And I went to a mentor of mine who knew about energy and the hands, which I didn't even know about. He said, Barbara, remove those rings. They will just bring you more conflict. I didn't think about it. I just put them on my index finger sometimes or my regular ring finger. Over time, things got easier to the point where I was writing my second book, How to Escape the Known Trap, where you don't make the same mistakes over and over. Maybe you make different ones. I noticed that people, where they wore rings on their index fingers and their regular ring fingers, got through things more easily than thumbs and middle fingers. And I said to myself, there's a system here, and there certainly is.
Interesting. So tell us a little bit about the different energies of the fingers and where what it means on the different fingers. Where should you wear your rings for different?
Yeah, there's a whole world that's been known to types of astrologies for years, but they got so complicated only a few people actually knew about it. And I have more simplified it to the point where it actually works on everyone. So the right hand is really your right side of your body going out to the world. When you shake hands, that is your best right side going out to the world. And your right hand index finger is a transformative powerhouse finger. Did you know, actually, in Indian astrology, men and now women, when they go to a big meeting to close a deal, they will insist on wearing a gold ring with gold topaz from Nepal, many of them, to close the deal so that both parties do well and it's a long-term good experience. That's the right hand. And a lot of people in America are just starting now to wear rings on their right index finger. It's a unique feeling, and it's not easy to do for long periods of time, but it's a good start. Then if you move over to the right middle finger, a lot of times without realizing it, if we feel self-protective where we're not sure about people and we're afraid that our boundaries will get taken over by them, often we don't realize we're doing it. We're wearing rings on our right middle finger. The right ring finger, that's always been a genuine, stable, self-love finger. That's a good place to put them. If you only wear a pinky ring by itself on the right side, it pulls you away from other people and you're not a team player. And the right thumb is such a need to control others to keep them near you, you can be exhausted. So that's just a start on the right hand. Do you have any thoughts about what I just said?
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And so on the left-hand side, the left thumb, you often find people in the service industries, when you go to a restaurant, they will often have a ring on their left thumb. I got to give them credit. That means they are here to serve other people. But what can happen is you can give and give and give, not get any credit, and without realizing it, resent it after a while. The left thumb, is the left index finger, rather, is one of my favorite all-time fingers. It's the queen bee finger. It's when you wear a ring on your left index finger. A lot of, I've seen older actresses go to parties and they will wear rings on their left index fingers. I've seen that quite a bit in Hollywood and in Palm Springs. It means I'm the queen and everyone around me is happy to be around me. They celebrate me and they give me things and their own energy without my asking. That's the left index finger. The left middle finger, a lot of times we'll see that where it means I have to pick up the tab. I take care of everything. I don't trust other people to fold the towels right. And it's all about my turn. And I can't allow someone to help me too much. Then there's the ring finger of the beloved. It's good to leave that open if you want to let someone come and love you and bring a ring to you. Sometimes when we get a ring for ourselves there, it means deep down it's not a bad thing to do. I'm pretty whole and complete by myself, and I can have relationships, but I don't want to get too married to you. And the left pinky, one of the Casanova fingers, that's kind of known. I like to show off, and I'll show you I have money, but I won't share it with you. So what do you think of that one?
I like the queen bee one. The queen bee
is amazing. If anyone who's listening tries out the index fingers, those are absolutely transformative fingers. You could walk down the street, I'm telling you, and you could see another woman or a guy with a ring on their index finger. Just walk up to them and say, you know, that's a unique ring or a unique place to wear a ring. Do you have a story to tell or what is your interest? They will be creative and they'll have something to tell you. It's a very, very connective thinker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So does it matter what type of ring you're putting on these fingers, like the metals of them or the stones or anything like that? Or is it mostly just the placement of a ring on
it? It's a good point, because I do have a section in the Ring Shui book about different metals and different rings and gemstones that do well. But I have actually found that if it lights you up, that's really what it's about. I find in the right ring finger, often friends, girls will go out, women will go out shopping together and just have a fun ring, and they will get a ring that lights them up on the right ring finger. And that's often known as a sincerely hopeful finger, where you just put a ring on, you have support by your friends, and you'll bring more love to you. Maybe someone who will want to put a ring on the left finger. And also, I just have to say this. I've found most importantly many times when you get rings from your family who loves you very much, if you wear them every day and you're looking to connect to new people, it can actually keep new people away, because the love you have from your original family can be so strong, they'll subconsciously feel, I could never compare to them and I could never love you as much as they do. So if you're looking for new energy, don't wear those every day. And that's a hard thing to take for people who are used to that. Yeah.
Sure. So it's interesting that this is all about energy.
Yeah.
And the energies that you're sending out and bringing in. You know, you were talking about how the right hand was the connecting to others. What's the left hand?
the left hand is the bringing in. You know, we often talk about in our lives, sometimes we're doing and sometimes we're being. The right hand is about doing, and the left hand is being. And if it's, the right hand is about giving, the left hand is about receiving. If we call ourselves givers and we don't allow ourselves to receive, we're breaking the flow. So a lot of times people take pride in saying, I'm a giver, but I can never take anything from anyone else. Breaking the flow, you don't understand the laws of attraction.
So which hand is the receiving hand?
The left hand. That's the personal hand. That's why the beloved ring would be on the left hand. But different cultures may have the ring on the right hand, but ultimately, whichever ring finger is the receiving end, it's just that particular finger is the receiving end if it's on the right. But most of the receive comes to the left hand. Yeah. And whether you're left hand or right hand, it's the same thing.
Right. Cool. So how does this, is there any of this that can help with reducing stress or other energies that maybe someone doesn't want in their life?
Absolutely. For instance, one configuration that I see time after time after time again that actually blows my mind, because when I hear the story a person has to say, it fits it, is in the right hand, there will be people without realizing it subconsciously, they'll have a ring on their right ring finger, meaning they do believe in long-term love. But they will also, right next to it, wear a ring on their right middle finger. What that can mean is, for a long-term relationship, they'll put up with someone who's really given them a lot of trouble. So when you see someone who's wearing a ring on their right middle finger and their right ring finger, they've been through a lot and they've suffered, and they think their strength is continuing to suffer rather than letting go. And sometimes I help them just take a break from that right middle finger ring, try to put that or something else on the right index finger, and it can lower the burden of trying to carry on a love that is too intense, like being in love with a drug addict for too long that isn't getting help, or someone who's seeing other people and cheating on you and you're continuing to put up with that. Sometimes I haven't even seen that on people who they were the ones having the affair on other people. It's pretty amazing to watch those two fingers go on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if you want to just bring lots of great energy into your life, lots of abundance, lots of love, like all the positive things, where's your best?
I'd say for someone who is pretty open and free to new things and letting go of old things, your best configuration, you don't have to do it every day or out in public, but therapeutically, is have a really fun ring on your right index finger, your right ring finger next to the pinky, and your incoming index finger on the left hand. And those three rings will rock and roll for you, especially if you don't necessarily do that every day, but say a few times a week, especially when it's new for you. You'll notice all of a sudden new things happening out of nowhere, contacts from friends you haven't heard from in a long time. Wow, where did that come from? It's like a whoosh of fresh air.
So right index finger, right ring finger. So index finger is the pointy one. Right, and then what, the left hand that you said, incoming finger?
The incoming, that's the queen bee finger, the left index finger.
Left index, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yes.
So, you know, if anyone who's listening to this show would like to get a hold of you or reach you afterwards, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
You know, I do have my website, www.ringshui.com, RINGSHUI.com. But I am a baby boomer. I still like talking on the phone. You're welcome to call me at 909-786-7201. I go through my messages a lot, and also text me at 909-786-7201. I give a lot of Ring Shui parties, events. I promote things at people's stores, everything from diamond centers to clothes stores. And it's a lot of fun having birthday parties where people bring their own rings and I bring some of my own. So that's 909-786-7201.
Tell us really quickly a little bit about a Ring Shui party. What does that look like?
It's wonderful. I find a lot of women say in their 30s, cake and sometimes a dinner, and then women will bring their fun rings from the ages in a really nice box, you know, want to have it protective, and they'll talk about where they got the rings and when they wore the rings and where they wear them, and we tell great stories about our lives and where to move them, and then for fun I have some other rings. And it really is a great conversation that's lovely, deep, engaging, caring, and is actually masterful. Sometimes we'll laugh out loud. Sometimes we'll cry about the stories. It's a very wonderful gathering.
Lovely. That sounds lovely. So now I'd like to shift the conversation a little bit and talk about about the publishing process, the writing and publishing process of your book. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't your first book, right?
Actually, it's my third. And my first book was What to Do When Life is Driving You Crazy. And it was before the computer. This was before the computerized way. It was like a word processor. That was 1997.
Wow.
And actually, I self-published that with a group that helped me out. And I had a distributor. And through that distributor, I also got some calls and got an agent. Agent helped me get a large publisher for my second book, How to Escape the Known Trap. That was McGraw-Hill. By the time I came up with the idea of Ring Shui, I wanted to get it out very quickly. And it was so easy to publish yourself. And I want to tell you, an organization that is so important to get connected to when you start writing or if you want to look into aspects of publishing is the Independent Book Publishers Association. Please go online and join them. They can teach you everything you need to know about writing, marketing, getting an agent if you need, small publishers if you want, what's the difference. Independent Book Publishers Association.
Well, they are a great association. I'm a member of them as well.
Yeah.
They really do have a lot of resources available. Education.
They're a wonderful group to know. They have wonderful editors. They have a great magazine, and you feel very connected. Writing sometimes can feel like a lonely process, but they can help you feel very connected. Also, I write self-help books, and I find if you have an idea that you want to get out there, start coming up with 10 ideas in a way of having an index of 10 chapters. Start writing and just let the muse work for you. I found it rolled out very quickly and very easily when I came up with Ring Shui. It's like I put the pen to paper. Sometimes I'd be at a situation where I'd be sitting for hours between seeing people as a therapist. I'd be on site somewhere. And before you know it, I had gotten that book out probably about 9 months.
That's pretty good. So when you wrote Ring Shui, what was your vision for it? Like, what did you hope that it would accomplish for you? You know, how did you envision the book supporting you in your business or in your life? Why did you write it?
I wrote it actually to balance my life, to be engaging, and it's done everything I've wanted it to do. I am a licensed clinical social worker. I do a lot of debriefings. I do a lot of hard critical incidences out in the world, whether they're fires or shootings or things that are going out in the world today. And while I love that very dearly, I do a lot of trauma work. This is a balance to be with women's organizations such as National Association of Female Executives. They have totally, totally supported me in Ring Shui. And I get to talk about dear, engaging, connective things out in the world that bring great joy. And then I get to sell the rings and the books. So it gets to bring out another aspect of my intuition or my talents or my connectiveness that I wouldn't have a chance to do in the other work that I have. So it's very balancing.
I love that for you. And, you know, I always like asking authors this question because everybody has a different definition of what being a successful author means to them. And I love it when authors are able to so clearly, like you just did, so clearly define what their goals were and why they wanted to write this book and what they intended to achieve this book with their book, because then you can see, like, did you hit it and you're or not? And you clearly did, and I thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you for having such an awareness about that in yourself.
And thank you. And, you know, also what's so interesting is the awareness comes about. It was like not right away. It was almost like it had been sitting in my lap for a while before it hit me. Wait, this is really something. We get beautiful gifts every day, and sometimes we overlook them, not realizing the treasure they are.
Yeah, that's for sure. So in the book publishing and writing and publishing process, what was the part that was the most fun, the most enjoyable, and what was the part that was the most work or the most difficult?
I'd say the most enjoyable was starting to get the concepts out there and finding people who supported it and said, Barbara, this has been known for a long time and you're just really bringing it to the greater public, and getting people that to really help me that as mentors. Getting mentors, I think that one of the greatest things in my life is finding people I look up to and then people who look up to me, and getting more connections and more contacts with associations of all sorts, mainly with women's associations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fun part. Going with the process of the ISBN number and all the things you have to do to get it correctly in order with the copyrights, I'd have to say that it was difficult, but I have a wonderful book attorney, Jonathan Kirsch. I just went right to him, and he's truly helped me. So I found getting contacts, a lot of them through Independent Books Publishers Association. When I had a problem, if I went to them, they solved it. But if I tried to sit there by myself and come up with it alone, I would go into a funk. So reaching out to get help clearly helped me learn how there's always at least three options of ways to go, but do search
Absolutely.
For help and don't think you're going to do it alone.
Right. So what areas did you get the most help in? Or what areas
Absolutely.
Did you find? What
copy,
other areas?
Copy editing, creative editing, putting it all together. I know I can do a run-on sentence like nobody's business. So helping people edit for me so that I was free to write and not be afraid to make mistakes. And those were the contacts, a lot of them I met through ISBN or Independent Books Publishers Association, PA. There's so many groups.
IBPA.
But,
right.
Yeah.
So many acronyms.
You know that feeling?
So many letters.
If you're writing, right, there's so many acronyms. If you're writing by yourself and you have no support team behind you, you can get uptight and your muse can sit there and say, well, we're trying to help you there and you're getting stuck. But if you know there's people behind you to edit and clean up your messiness or saying the same thing over and over again, you can write freely because you know you have a team.
Right. And that's always really important. When you talk about creative editing, which I'm assuming is a term that you're using for something that, you know, there's a lot of different terms out there in terms of editing. How do you define creative editing?
Well, like copy editing will be just going through and see, are you grammatically correct? And where did you punctuate? Creative editing is, what if you have an idea that you think when you write it, it makes sense, but the person that's helping you with the creative editing has a better way of reaching out so the public gets it, so that people that don't know you get it, or the subject, and they can help flesh it out and put it in parentheses or paragraphs or chapters that you might not have thought about, And then they can tell you, you need a story here, come up with another idea there, have another explanation there, and they'll help you flesh out the book in ways you might not have thought of.
Yeah, that's absolutely so important. And I tend to call that type of editing developmental editing. Where where the editor is supporting you in a developmental way. So they're not necessarily looking for accuracy, which is what a copy editor will do. Will make sure that your work is correct and accurate, and they fact check and they make sure that all of the pieces are presented correctly. Whereas a developmental editor can help you at on a different plane entirely, help you, come at it
that's
from the
actually
point
a better term. That's actually a better mm-hmm. term, because they can help you. I've been amazed at how you get a good editor like that can take your ideas, and it's still your ideas, and it sounds like you talking, but it's so much better than what I would have come up with. And you want to leave your ego at the door. You want to be to have someone brighten you up. I enjoy that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, What surprised you about the process of writing, of publishing? What surprised you that perhaps you weren't expecting?
I think the most amazing thing that happens with something like Ring Shui or any book you write is that associations will take the book and they will make it theirs. And when they advertise your book, they will advertise it with insights and ideas that you never thought would happen, but they do. Like Karen Roche Carter, who wrote one of my favorite books, Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life, she recently wrote an article on Ring Shui in her newsletter. I was thrilled to death, and she wrote it in such a beautiful way. And then she added her own ideas about Feng Shui, and she made it like her own. That's what I love to watch. Or I go to do a speech, and people will come and we'll talk about Ring Shui. And I saw a woman, she had like 25 rings all tied into a scarf, and it looked like the most beautiful necklace I ever saw. And I would have never thought to do that. Or I went to a speech and a woman made cookies, no kidding, cookies that had fingers with rings on them as cookies. I just said, you got to be kidding me. Things like that are such a joy.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So if you were to leave an aspiring author with a tip or a piece, a slice of advice, what would you suggest to someone who is, wanting to get a book done, in the process, struggling through at some point, what advice would you give them?
Especially if it's your first book. I remember when I was writing my first book, I spent a lot of time, could I be an author? Should I write a book? Everybody who's never written a book before doesn't know if they're an author yet or not, but you are. Put it down. Don't be afraid that no one would want it. If you want it, someone else is going to want it. If it helps you or means something to you, it's going to light up someone else. Just put it down and just, if you build it, they will come. Just go with that.
I love that.
Don't hold
Thank
yourself
you.
Back by wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just do it. Take action. Get yourself out there. I love that. Well, and this brings us to the end of our show today. Barbara, thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing your brilliance and your expertise with us. It's been a joy
it's
to be here today.
Thank you.
And a special thanks to all our listeners, both those in the U.S. and international. We will be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Mondays at 9 and Fridays at 2 p.m. It's been my joy to be your host today. Please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com. www.womenleadradio.com.